Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Business Theory. I'm Andrew Flowers, the host, and I'm here with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. John Danes. How you doing, John?
I'm doing really well, man. How are you?
Dude, I'm doing fantastic. Just living the dream. All right. So welcome to the podcast. I've seen you doing a lot of your own podcasting, meeting a lot of high-level individuals, changing the game. So tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
For sure. Well, I'm John Danes. First of all, thanks for having me on. I'm John Danes. I'm a 19-year-old entrepreneur from Nashville, Tennessee. I have a digital marketing agency called 99 Media. Very original name. I was born in 1999 in media. That's where that came from. A lot of people ask me. Been building my personal brand for about 6 months now. Only started taking it seriously within like the last two. I have a top 100 business podcast. It's called the No Excuses Show, where I interview, you know, millionaires, influencers, entrepreneurs all around the world, and just get their best tips, tricks, and practices from them, and kind of talk about them, about their journey. And yeah, that's really me, man.
Definitely. So I know you mentioned you run a digital marketing agency and you have a top 100 business podcast. What has having a podcast at that level done for you in your journey, I guess?
Dude, it's done a ton for sure. I mean, it's been a great way to build my personal brand, an amazing way to learn, and a huge sense of credibility just to get into some circles that I wouldn't have been able to get in just in a digital marketing agency. I've been to a lot of things that I probably wouldn't have got invited to unless I had the podcast, and I've met a lot of people that I wouldn't have met unless I had the podcast. So it's been a huge tool. I think podcasting is one of the quickest ways to build your personal brand, and I think everybody should try and do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I know you had interviewed Grant Cardone, you interviewed Shawn Mike Kelly. What has, I guess, getting into those circles, has that really helped change your mindset, your view into what it's like to be successful at one of those levels?
100%, dude. I mean, I've never been around an individual who has as high of a net worth as Grant Cardone. So like talking to him and just having a conversation with him was absolutely like insane. From the point of view of like, hey, I never thought I would get to interview or talk to this guy, and now I have. So that, just that experience in itself changed my mindset. But some of the things he said to me, he's a lot more simplistic than all the other people. Like a lot of people just get caught up on the details, and a lot of people are like, I have to do this, that, and this. And Grant's more just like, no, man, you need to get the work done and then go about doing the other stuff. So like just his mindset of simplicity from the Grant experience specifically definitely changed my mindset on a lot of levels.
Definitely. I bet even just by conversating with those people, heightening your dexterity and your vocabulary, really taking it to the next level. So when you interact with people that are at that net worth and just other business relationships, you're able to hold a conversation with them, provide and contribute value to who they are and whatever business relationships that you're having with them.
100%, man. I mean, I was with Jeremy Haynes yesterday, who's like one of the, in my opinion, best digital marketers on Instagram, who talks about digital marketing. He's got over 1,900 students. His agency's doing like 8 million in revenue a year. He used to work with Grant Cardone. He's an absolute beast. And I just asked him, I was like, hey man, how have you been able to talk with such high intellect? And he was like, I forced myself in different positions and situations, and through that, my vocabulary just grew with those experiences. So like with your same intellect and vocabulary, it's definitely very true.
Absolutely. So what kind of got you into entrepreneurship? I know this is a question that a lot of entrepreneurs get asked. You know, they have some tragedy or some terrible, you know, event that happened, or their parents were entrepreneurs that pushed them to, you know, own their own business and kind of were coached into that mindset. What was it for you?
So I definitely don't have parents who are entrepreneurs. My dad was in sales. So like, even when we'll still talk this day, he'll be like, yo, I feel like I helped teach you that, you know, you don't mind asking for a leg and a kidney.
Definitely.
I said that to me on the phone the other day, but yeah, man. So basically going out through high school, going out through school, never did well, hated school. I was always a young hustler, always trying to make a quick buck, sell something. And, just trying to expand my wealth even as a kid, which was really funny. I mean, I didn't look at it as entrepreneurship. I just looked at it as like, hey, I'm gonna have a little bit of money if I want to go buy something. You know what I mean? So that mindset was something that I adapted from a very, very early age, but I didn't really see it play out until I was about 16 years old. So when I was 16, I was reselling rare sneakers and clothing. Had a ton of success with that. That was the first business that I was involved in. Wasn't building any personal brand. Was just learning how to sell and learning how to navigate e-commerce platforms. I used a couple different things like Grailed. I don't know if anybody knows about Grailed. If you're in the sneaker and clothing space, that's a big platform and tool that people use, like the Goat app. Sold a lot of stuff on eBay. Learned a ton about eBay. And then found a mentor who I got the opportunity to go work with in Kansas City, Missouri, when I was living in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. And went out there and lived with him and worked with him for 4 months. Just grinded my face off. Worked like 80 hours a week. It was nuts. Wasn't getting paid a lot. Was just working a lot. Staying productive, staying out of trouble, and just started to learn from him. And I remember one night we were at dinner and I said, PJ, what business should I start? I don't want to go to college. And he was like, well, that's for you to know. And you know, you need to find that out yourself. So his brother is actually a DJ. And Carl was just looking to book more gigs and looking to get more active on social media. So he was like, hey man, how about you run my social medias? And I was like, all right, man, like I know pretty well the basic functionality of social media. I might as well go for it and give it a shot. So I tried that out and went really well, really enjoyed it. Helped him book some new gigs and learn more about Facebook. I was predominantly on Instagram, but that's when I kind of mastered and learned more about Facebook. And I was like, man, this is a business. I should start doing this. So from there, just started doing it, just trying to expand, reaching out to clients, learning as much as I can. And then we I've now had some pretty good success with the agency, been onboarding a bunch of clients. And when it first started out, it was more like social media management and content creation. Now we're moving more into the paid traffic side. So things are starting to go really well, man. It's been a fun journey, but it's funny to just look back and see how everything really started.
Fantastic. Yeah, I know, especially moving forward, paid traffic is the way, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, or, you know, Twitter, for example, and Google AdWords. That's especially when you're going for businesses that are bringing in consistent revenue. It's all about ROI from their standpoint, and they're looking at it as an investment into you, not so much for branding. But what, I guess, is one of the best things that you've learned running a social media or digital marketing agency?
Man, I've learned that, that's a great question. I've learned that it's business is a very interesting world. I mean, I think that a lot of people on the internet paint this out to be like some kind of, yo, dude, you can make 10 grand a month, first month. Did you try this out? And I've learned that that's definitely not the truth. When first starting out, I had huge goals and expectations, and a lot of them didn't get met. And I think one of the biggest things that business has taught me is just stay persistent, stay consistent and disciplined. And the things you want to have, you can eventually attain if you just work hard enough and you keep putting in the consistent action. So I'd say that's one of the biggest lessons.
Definitely. Would you say digital marketing, social media is dead now in terms of wanting, like, new entrepreneurs wanting to start an agency? What's your take on that?
No, not at all, man. I feel like literally like 4% of businesses in the world have tapped into using social media correctly. So, I mean, if you don't have any skills, every business is dead. But if you can actually develop skills that serve the marketplace and you can actually help people out, like the business model of making somebody's life better is always going to be a business model. So like if you can make someone more revenue through their business, no matter what tool you're using, you're making their life better. So like that's always going to be like, I'm talking to you on an iPad right now. Like Steve Jobs makes everybody's, Adam and I were talking about, my business partner Adam and I were talking about this last night. Like our lives were made better by Steve Jobs. That's why he's a household name has a household brand. So like the business model of social media marketing might not be around forever, but the concept will always stay true. It'll always be the same.
And I think it's probably just how you adapt changing, you know, ecosystem into the future.
Right. 100%.
Definitely. So in terms of social media, digital marketing, what's your advice to new entrepreneurs wanting to get in the space? What do you see right now in terms of, you know, whether Facebook is king, Instagram is king, LinkedIn is king? What do you think are the areas that they should focus on? And what are your three steps to creating a successful marketing agency moving forward?
That's a great question. There's so many different things. Whatever you have experience on, whatever you feel the most comfortable with. A lot of people think with their agency that they have to do a million different things. So they have to do chatbots. They have to do Facebook ads, Instagram ads, every single type of advertising there is. They have to build websites. They have to build logos. They have to make content. You just kind of, you can study the people who have been super successful. They specialize in and are experts in one field. I was talking about this with one of my friends the other day who works at one of the biggest startups in my area in Franklin. It was actually named number one by TechCrunch. He's in the law firm space. his company called Cicada, and his name is Luis. So Luis was telling me, he was like, we were talking about trademarks and copyrights and different things like that. And he was like, if you're going to get some trademarks and copyrights, you're going to want to go with the trademark and copyright lawyer. And law is one of the oldest and most wealth creating businesses of all time. And he's telling me to only go with somebody who specializes in one area. So the point to that is, I know that sounded like a tangent, but the point to that is you can find something that you can specialize in. Don't just go out the gate and be like, I'm only going to do real estate, but go out the gate and say, you know what? I'm going to try to work with some dentists. I'm going to try to work with some chiropractors. There's business models, you know, there's main business models that are covered in everybody who teaches digital marketing, but that's not geographic. So there might be somebody in Louisville, Kentucky, who has no dentist in their area, has no doctors, doesn't know a bunch of real estate agents, but for example, a bunch of pawn shops, and can make a you know, six-figure a month business running paid traffic services and helping pawn shops expand on social media. So like the general versus niche is a big argument, and I think it's a valid argument. Find something that you can specialize in and find people who you can produce amazing results for, and then expand and just go really, really deep on that, because people want to deal with industry experts. So that would be my first piece of advice, but try a lot of stuff first. Second piece of advice, keep your expenses low and pay attention to your taxes. So with all this digital marketing stuff, like I'm about to buy a software today, actually, after we get off this call, and it's pretty expensive. It's thousands of dollars. And would we do that if we weren't making any money? Hell no. So a lot of people, like the beautiful thing about social media marketing and digital marketing, it's a low expense business for the most part, especially like if you're doing PR or you're doing content creation, those are businesses that you can make 10 grand a month with and have to spend absolutely nothing. But when you expand and you want to buy softwares and ClickFunnels and ScopeLeads and all these different cool tools that we can use to expand our businesses, you want to do that after you're actually bringing revenue in your business. So you're not just Michael Jordan shooting some money into the toilet. You know what I'm saying? So I would
exactly.
Is low. That's one of the biggest things that not a lot of people talk about. And pay attention to your taxes. Get a good software that you're using to measure how much money you got coming in. I mean, in a week, we get paid on Stripe, Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App. We get paid on all four of those tools. And if we didn't have a good software to measure, hey, how much money are we bringing in, we could put ourselves in massive trouble by not keeping up with all that data. So that would be another thing. Third tip that I would give somebody is just network, 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 and collaborate with other individuals. I've paid so many people for an hour consult or a two-hour consult or bought somebody's course just to learn the exact strategies that they're doing. Because if you only have one person you're learning for, you've made yourself vulnerable, because that person might be the best in their space, but they might not have all of the best tips and practices and softwares and all that that the other person who might be coming up might have. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. This is something Tristan Larson pointed out the other day, was always be learning. The moment that you stop learning, your business is going to deteriorate.
Right.
Exactly. So, and of course, keeping those costs low, having your costs scale as your agency scales is something so important, because, and this is something, especially in a lot of courses, you know, they're talking about, hey, just get out there and start, you know, buying all these tools. But the thing is you're going to have to live in the trenches at the beginning of your agency, doing that hard work, manually scheduling the content, manually making the Facebook ads, not outsourcing to any experts until you can bring in consistent cash flow to move forward. Getting back to your podcast, getting back to your top 100 business podcast, I know there's a lot of talk about long form content. What do you think the best form of long-term or medium-term content? Is that going to be YouTube? Is that podcasting? What is your take?
Well, for every YouTube account, for every 2,000 YouTube accounts, there's one podcast. Not sure if you knew that statistic, but it's very crazy how few people are taking advantage of podcasting, especially young people. So there's been time and time again of people building an incredible podcast and then building a credible business along with it, like Build Your Empire and the Rise of the Young podcast, for example. John Lee Dumas kicking ass with all his stuff that he's got going on. And I just feel like it's an amazing way to connect with individuals. So like a lot of these people, I feel like the number one mistake they're making is they're doing a podcast and then they're just sharing their own perspective. It's not a good way to go. You need to share the perspective of others, talk to other people about what they're doing, and talk to them about all the amazing experiences that they've had and highlight others. Don't be selfish. Highlight others on your show doing the interview style stuff. I just think it's the quickest way to put out content. Having a podcast has given me an amazing digital footprint. There's actually like, I have so much SEO and content behind my name on Google just because I've distributed 37 pieces of content that have gone out to 6 or 7 or 8 different platforms. So I think it's a great way to build your personal brand.
Gotcha. So what would be your suggestion for getting high profile individuals on podcasts? How would you go about reaching out to them?
Instagram DM and email are the two most that I've never closed. I've got a couple off LinkedIn, but I've never really got someone on the podcast from anywhere but Instagram, LinkedIn, and email. So just go out to reach out to those people. And the best way you can do it is you can find somebody in their friend group who may be a little bit lower profile, and then go and just start sniping off all of their friends after you do that interview. So leverage the person that you brought on to get more guests. So for example,
gotcha.
If you know that you want to interview Josue Pena, for example, good friend of mine, awesome Instagram guy, just got verified the other day. He's friends with people like Dan DeSilva, Jaden Gross, and Kevin David, and some other that are killing it. If you interviewed Josue, I would then go to one of the people in his friend group and be like, hey man, just interviewed your good buddy Josue. He talked very highly of you. I'd love to have you on my show. And then go DM them and go comment that on their photo. Hey, go check DM, check DM, check DM until they open it. And then go about trying to get them on your show. And then distribute that content. Affiliate yourself with that person. The higher level of people that you affiliate yourself with, the higher profile and level that makes you. So like just me being affiliated and have it's called authority hijacking. Basically the authority of collaborating or talking or doing something with some individual, you can actually hijack authority from that person and put it on yourself. So like, for example, if I was like, hey, I did an interview with Grant Cardone, that's authority hijacking 101. That makes me look credible. And that makes me look like an established person in the space just because I was able to interview an individual like Grant.
Absolutely. So what's your advice to younger entrepreneurs that are getting started with a pod?
My advice to those guys is, man, get started, make it happen, get on Libsyn.com or whatever Podbean, Spreaker, whatever type of software you're going to use, and just make it happen. Pay somebody $30 to make you a cool cover photo on Fiverr and just start distributing as much content as possible. I don't care who you're interviewing, dude. Interview your neighbor, your mom, your brother, your grandma. Just start interviewing people and getting their best experiences and having those people market your content, because the more people they show the more content they show to their audience, you're going to get content to come better, their audience to come back to you and watch your content. Distribute, 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 interview new people and kind of get them to do that kind of influencer marketing strategy and promote what you're doing. Andrew, after we do this podcast, I'm going to promote it. After it's up, I'm going to promote it. And what's going to happen? You're going to steal some of my audience and they're going to be like, yo, I like this Andrew guy. He's a cool cat. And then you're going to go interview the next guy. He's going to promote it. She's going to promote it. And then their audience is going to come back to you. You're going to keep picking up audience. It's like walking up the stairs. You got episode 1, episode 2, and you keep going up. You're gaining more following from everybody you interview. So ideally, you can interview some people with a little bit bigger following, with a little bit more established personal brand, and then you can start to hijack their audience.
So did that work out with Grant Cardone?
Dude, he hasn't promoted it yet. It's kind of pissing me off. I sent him a story. I put him on my story and he saw it. I was like, damn, dude. But I still get the credibility.
Cool.
I still have the credibility of getting to interview Grant Cardone and telling people.
Definitely.
I interviewed Grant Cardone. People are like, oh, shit. Like, I should go on this guy's show. So yeah. That's been one of the biggest, you know, pieces of value that have been added to me because of doing that interview. I'm definitely happy I did. He was an awesome guy to talk to. And he knows what my face looks like. That's another thing. Like, he knows who I am. If I were to ever
You're on the radar.
Him, I'm on his radar. So that's the beauty too.
Definitely. So I know you just wrapped up speaking at NetCon a few weeks back. How was that? How was speaking? Give us the lowdown.
It was badass, dude. I loved it, man. It was just like, all these people are listening to me and I'm going to fill them up with as much value as possible. So I gave people some pretty strategic strategy or some strategic stuff on how to start a podcast. and spoke in front of like 150 plus people. It was kind of nerve wracking, but it was fun. And it was definitely something that, you know, I got it done. So it was like, that was the first one. I was nervous. I knocked it out. I think I did a really good job. And now it's just on to the next one, dude. Like, I can get on more stages. I can use that picture. That's a good piece of content of me speaking on stage. It's another credibility piece. Just leveling up your credibility, man, and making yourself look like somebody that everybody wants to work with is one of the biggest
definitely things. Definitely. So I guess, what's your advice for getting on one of those stages? What's your advice for getting in front of those crowds to speak?
Yeah, I mean, have a skill. Have something that you're an expert in. Have something that you feel like you don't even have to have a speech prepared about. I didn't have a speech prepared on. I just went up there and just shot it, man. I just went up there and made it happen. I didn't have a speech
planned out.
I literally just winged it. And I was able to do that because I'm pretty knowledgeable in what I was speaking on, which was podcasting. So become an expert in something. Build your personal brand. You could be one of the most knowledgeable people in the world. But if it's one of these young entrepreneur events, nobody's going to want you to speak unless you're going to bring an audience. So build your personal brand. Become an expert in something. And, dude, get people that you know are speaking and ask them how they did it. Ask them to refer you to whoever's having the events. Because basically at all these events, man, it's pretty well the same lineup of people that are speaking. So if you can be like, hey, man, next event you're speaking at, would you mind referring me? That's how I got on the stage. Joe Steibrath referred me to Simon. And then I was able to get on stage. Shout out my man Joe. Great dude. But he actually referred me, and that's how I was able to get on the stage. And just pitch yourself to these people throwing these events. If you find somebody throwing an event, just be like, hey, man, here's why you need me on your stage. And just go into depth on what you do, why you're an expert, and how you're going to be able to deliver value to their audience and sell more tickets. You'll get off the stage.
Definitely. Okay. Then switching gears, I know you're a syndicated contributor for Kibo Daily. What's your advice for becoming a contributor, getting into publishing in the press world?
Yeah, man. Definitely. Just again, you can establish yourself as an industry expert on something if you write articles about it. It's amazing for your digital footprint. It's amazing to have press written about you. It's something you can show your clients. Me and Adam, we're doing a new pitch for our agency. It's called Digitized Real Estate. And on the second slide, you know, I'm talking about myself because I'm going to be running these agents through this pitch. And the first thing we're putting is, yo, this dude's been featured in blank, 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 and blank. That's a big credibility piece. A lot of these are easy to write for. Just go and start writing something. Express yourself. There's so many ways that you can put out content, put out video, audio, picture. And now, you know, blogging kind of went out, but now you can write for some of these articles that are getting tons of views and pick up traction as an industry expert. You know, if you want to become a podcasting expert, go get some contributorship on some of these publications and start writing about podcasts.
Definitely. Okay. And that's something that not a lot of young entrepreneurs look at, you know, especially in the kind of guru environment on social media. You see a lot of Instagram TV, a lot of Facebook Lives, you know, nothing along the lines of really taking it off social, I guess, in a sense.
100%. I mean, people are like, oh, the blog era died. No point in writing content. I love to read. I think a lot of entrepreneurs love to read. So if you put out a piece of content, it's got a great catchy title and there's great information in it, people are going to want to read it. And they're not only going to want to read it, they're going to want to share it. So I think it's a great area to tap into. Not a lot of people are doing it. It's a pretty easy barrier to entry space. Anybody can do it, man. I mean, didn't you just get contributorship on Kibo not too long ago?
Yeah, so easy. Click a link and sign up, you know?
Exactly. So that's where I'm going with it. It's easy. It's another route to share your content on, and there's going to be people that are coming to see that article from your social, and you're going to be picking up following from the current readers on that website. So it's definitely something that not a lot of people have tapped into, and the people that do are going to see a lot more success, I feel like.
Exactly. Get in before, you know, it becomes mainstream, I guess.
Exactly.
Definitely. So, okay, what's your advice for young entrepreneurs starting out, getting into the game, whether they're in high school or in college or younger? What's your advice?
This is a tough question because a lot of people this question on my podcast, they pick one thing and stick with it, or they say, try a bunch of different things. So if you already know what you want to do, go 100%, 1 million miles deep on doing that thing. If you don't know what you want to do, I wouldn't say invest the money and go try it. I'd say get on YouTube and say, hey, man, do I want to be a Shopify dropshipper? What does this really take? Watch some YouTube videos. Do I want to do digital marketing? What really is this? Watch some YouTube videos. Do I want to day trade? Watch some videos. So on and so forth. So I would say find out what you want to do if you haven't already, and then go deep on making yourself an industry expert in that. Build your personal brand. Build the hell out of it. Don't spend way too much. I see some of these guys who are spending like 8 hours a day on Instagram. That's the worst thing you could possibly do for yourself. Don't do that. But, you know, invest in your content, dude. Learn how to make good content. Take high-quality pictures. Put out nice videos with timer bars and all that. There's videos of how to do it on YouTube, and it's not that expensive. So distribute good content. I'm kind of walking through my business partner, Adam. I'm walking him through how to, you know, build his personal brand. And he's like, yo, I want to get on more podcasts. And I'm like, you just got to find something to talk about. You know, find something that you're going to be putting content out about and build an audience around that subject. It doesn't have to be too deep. It doesn't have to be like chat bots, but it can be digital marketing, how you build a digital marketing agency. So find something that you want to put content around, become an industry expert in it, pick a great business model, become a beast at it, start getting clients, and then start documenting all your success and failure.
Definitely. All right. Awesome. So where can we find more about John Danes? Where can my audience connect with you?
Well, if they want to, they can find me on Instagram at John Danes, J-O-H-N-D-A-N-E-S. www.johndanes.com, powered by Greater Media.
plug.
Let's go. And you can find the podcast at anywhere that podcasts are found, the No Excuses Show.
Definitely. All right. Those will be in the description. John, it was a pleasure as always. I appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.